Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains Podcast. My name is Daniel White III. I am the president of Gospel Light Society University. We are going through the book, Out of the Depths. We are going through the book, Out of the Depths, an autobiographical study of mental disorder and religious experience by one of the pioneers of chaplaincy, Dr. Anton T. Boyesen. This is episode number 84. Our scripture passage for today is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, which reads, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Our ordained chaplain's quote for today is from William Samuel Johnson. He said, "He knows not his own strength who hath not met adversity." And that is so true. Beloved, in this podcast, we will continue discussing and reading the book Out of the Depths by Dr. Anton T. Boyesen, one of the founders of modern-day chaplaincy. We continue today with Chapter 4, a very interesting, intriguing, and long chapter in the book, titled, A Little Known Country. Pardon me. Part 33. He goes on to share, "How do I account for the reoccurrence of last spring? One factor was certainly the fear of this place and of others like it, while the dominating ideas were still much the same. The ideas most prominent in this last disturbance had to do with the imprisonment and the way of escape from it. There was the terrifying thought growing out of that experience that God himself was helpless in the hands of the doctors, and that I must somehow or other help to set him free. It may also be noted that last fall, when I came back to normal, it was largely the result of a severe beating which left me weak and helpless and unable to continue the struggle. In this disturbance, on the other hand, I fought my way through to some sort of solution. It was no accident that 10 days after leaving the disturbed ward, I found the work in which I am now engaged. It was in line with the solution I had arrived at in Codman Upper. I feel, therefore, that I am not ready to be junked yet. But granting the danger of a recurrence, what should be done about it? The answer will depend, in the first place, upon the character of the disturbance and the possible harm I might do to others. If I am a menace to society, I must, of course, be kept where I can do no harm. Thus far, I find no evidence that there was, even in the wildest delirium, the slightest danger to anyone else. I can remember most everything, and if given a chance, I could give a very different interpretation to the words which were taken as indications of danger. In my own consciousness, it was the best part of myself which was dominant throughout those disturbed periods, and from the moral standpoint, I was never more nearly right than at the very moment I was taken to the hospital. It was, in some ways, the highest point I had reached that has been and is still my feeling. In saying this, I am not forgetful of the shocking character of my ideas. I am thinking rather of my dominant concern with the grim problem of existence and survival, not of myself, but rather of others. There was throughout no sexual excitation, and the ideas were fluid. There was, in other words, no Mr. Hyde personality, but rather a better self, blind and chained and struggling for release. I recognize what you have in mind in speaking of the danger of a recurrence coming in the midst of an important piece of work. Last August, you gave me a small job working up some statistics for your two books. Before that task was completed, I went haywire, and the study was not completed in time to be of use to you. In general, however, the periods of abnormality have come in connection with some important transition or turning point. They have not come while I was at work, but in the in-between times, and more than once I pulled myself together when in such a condition and have assumed responsible work and carried it through with some degree of success. I appreciate your offer to help in any way you can. I do not, however, think it will be necessary for you to act as custodian. I am hoping now that I may be able to take some work in the Harvard Divinity School and in the affiliated institutions, which will help me to clear up the problems which this experience has brought to the fore and to prepare myself for a new task. Peirce was here the other day and brought with him some good advice which he had hatched out coming down on the train. He urged me to take up concrete work of some sort. Such a course, he thought, would be the best means of helping me to regain and preserve my sanity. I replied to Peirce that sanity in itself is not an end in life. The end of life is to solve important problems and to contribute in some way to human welfare, and if there is even a chance that such an end could best be accomplished by going through hell for a while, no man worthy of the name would hesitate for an instant. I often think of a little incident which occurred when I was in Washington. One of the old Forest School men had just returned from 2 years in the North Woods, and a lot of his old classmates were gathered around him while he dished out yarns about his experiences in the wilds. Finally, one of the men asked, "Say, Bill, have you ever been lost?" Bill straightened up, glared at him, and replied with some heat, "Lost? Of course I've been. It's only the dubs who never go 5 miles from camp who don't get lost sometimes." I agree with Bill. The kind of sanity which has to be preserved by sticking close to camp and washing dishes for the rest of my life is not worth preserving. I could never be happy or contented in such a course, especially when I feel that the particular territory in which I lost my way is of greatest interest and importance. I want to explore and map that territory. There is one principle which seems to me very important. You are in doubt about a certain course. The facts are not known and cannot be known. In such a case, the decision should be in favor of the course which promises the greatest returns. Even though you cannot be sure, you will succeed. I refer, of course, to the principle stated by Professor James in his Will to Believe. Of course, I cannot be absolutely sure that there will not be a recurrence of trouble, but the possibility of such a recurrence should not, in my judgment, deter me from the course which promises the greatest opportunity for service. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in our next episode, we will continue with part 34 of chapter 4, A Little Known Country. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray for those who are going into chaplaincy to gain what they can gain from this interesting and some might say strange book from this man who helped to get going in this country, chaplaincy as we know it, in a foundational way, as background knowledge. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray that in the end, lost souls would be saved, Christians would be encouraged and revived, and even as people are listening to the gospel, or will listen to the gospel here momentarily, Lord, have your Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts and convict them of their sins and help them to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life, and that I have broken your commandments, and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.